Hello, I'm Bob Waddell. I'm the chairman of the Emergency Pediatric Care Program for the National Association of EMTs. I have been a paramedic since 1980 and in EMS since 1975. My day job is I am the vice president of emergency preparedness and response for the SACO triage method. And I appreciate you folks asking me to be here. And as asked to relay some experiences about what EMS, those memorable moments within EMS that have made an impact to me and may be of value to the students. I think one of the first ones was in the early 70s when I took my very first aid course. The instructor I had was a very grumpy ex-military instructor that quality was his hallmark. And one of the statements that he's made that stayed with me all these years was, the patient's already having a bad day. Don't make it worse. And he gave us the example as junior high school kids that sometimes when you're working on a patient, either the smells of the scene or even the patient may make you nauseated. The patient all of a sudden starts vomiting and that invokes your gag reflex. Don't puke on the patient. They already have enough problems. Turn your head, puke, and get back to work. They need your help. And like I say, as bizarre or odd as that sounded, through the years I had numerous patients where I didn't feel any better than they did. I had the same stomach flu they did. The smells of the scene irritated me, and his gruff little voice kept coming back in there of, turn your head, do what you have to do, get back, you have a patient to take care of. That philosophy was very predominant in the early 70s, mid 70s. And once I got into the EMT course, the similar type vein of philosophy occurred of take care of each and every patient as if they were someone you loved. This is your loved one. This is your wife, your husband, your daughter, your son, your niece, your nephew, boyfriend, girlfriend, grandma, grandpa, whatever it might be, mom, dad. But even though you don't know this person, you may not even like this person, they should be treated as if they're someone you love. Within EMS, we left that philosophy for, I'm going to say, approximately 20 years, and we got into the technical aspects. And part of the justification was, we're technicians. We're emergency medical technicians. We put people on backboards and strap them down. We start IVs. We hook them up to the heart monitor. We do technical skills. And as a profession, we really lost our humanity, in my opinion. Coming back to it is starting to come back. The family-centered care program, which is offered by the National Association of EMTs, or NAEMT, being nice to your patient is finally coming back into our psyche. And I think, especially as students, we have to start teaching our students that right off the bat, no discussions. Being the chair of a pediatric committee, we deal a lot with kids, especially small children, infants, which definitely pull on the heartstrings. And it's often very, very difficult for us to take care of those kids because there's such an emotional reaction. Many of us don't want to take care of the sick or injured child because we're scared to death of them. Most of us, if you're in the field any amount of time, you will have a child die on you. And keep in mind, if you do your best, some children will die, but more of them will live. And you gave each and every one absolutely the best care you could. The SIDS babies, 30 years later, we still have no solution or no great remedy for SIDS. Those kids are going to die on you. They're probably already dead. The kids that are hit by cars that overdose as you get into adolescence, very tough situations. And if you remain as the patient's advocate, if you consider each and every patient, each and every day, someone you love during that 15, 30, 45 minutes that you take care of them, they have a greater chance of survival. They have a greater chance for a life that they may not have had if it was just, this is another person I have to put on the backboard. This is another piece of meat that I start an IV in. They are people and they are patients and should be respected in that. And also, you really need to take care of yourself. Those of you that know me know that, you know, I'm 100 pounds overweight. Physically, you need to take care of yourself. Some of us talk a good talk, but obviously we don't do that. But you also need to take care of yourself mentally and emotionally. Two little stories. Within my medical career, took care of a patient who was involved in a car crash, massive head injuries, was a Jane Doe for a number of hours, was in ICU for about 17 days, because this particular patient, and at this time of in my career, the patient was, the ICU was an open ICU, so just, you know, curtains separated the beds. The patient got staph and strep and some other infections. All the other patients in ICU were orthopedic patients. And so they moved this one patient out of ICU because she was contaminated onto a floor, still in a coma, still very critical, but now being cared for by people who really didn't understand. Much like EMS, we get patients that are much more complex than our normal. Was in a coma for 6.5 weeks. One night the neurosurgeon came in and said she was no longer in the coma. She was finally awake. The next morning she died from a simple mucus plug in her trachea. And that was very difficult because it was my sister. And I'd spent 7 weeks in and out of the hospital visiting, helping with her care, and to think that she died because of a goober. The goober stuck in her trachea, her trach tube, and it killed her. And emotionally, that's very devastating. Of what about suctioning? We forget suctioning. 5 years ago now, and this is part of why I say take care of yourself, is my mother was murdered by medicine. Went in for a relatively simple orthopedic procedure and came out brain dead. And 9 days later, with me being the medical provider of the family, I had to make the decision to discontinue life support. That was very, very difficult, not only because of the fact of losing my mother, but the simple fact that medicine, my profession, stuff I'd worked for 30 years, 26 years at that time, the error rates increased. Errors took both my mother and my sister. My sister's was not preventable. They actually did everything they could have beforehand and during to prevent the mucus plug. My mother's case was 100% preventable. And so it was if my own profession betrayed me. With that, you come back to the humanity of it, take care of yourself. With that, you go back to those early statements I made of treat every patient as someone you love. Be the patient advocate. Be the caregiver advocate, because so many of these people don't have that. And if you do that, with my mom, one of the things that's come out of this is I have a lot stronger focus on error prevention. EMS has the least amount of contact with patients, and yet typically we have some of the highest error rates within the medical community. Take care of every patient like you love them. If you are 97% accurate in your knowledge base, you pass the test, you pass the course with a 97%, that means 97 out of every 100 patients get a high level of care. But that also means that 3 out of every 100 patients don't get the best. They get a substandard level of care. Take good medicine and make it great. Make it great medicine. Take care of your patients. Care for your patients. Take care of yourself and care for yourself.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from EMSresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.